Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
First, though, let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, I ask that the words I speak, the thoughts that I have had this week as I have prepared, that they might in some way bless somebody. I know I always prepare what I'm going to say for myself, so if something that I say touches somebody else's heart, then that's great, and if not, then you have touched my heart this week. I pray in, that you will bless me and hide me behind your cross. Amen. Okay, so when I do not preach. The first time I ever had to speak in front of a church, it was in Korea, and all the missionaries. I went there, and they said all missionaries are going to speak. And I'm like, okay, how hard could it be? So, but I don't do any, those who have a talent for preaching sermons, I admire it. I don't do that. I'm going to do this the same way when I taught history to high school, same sort of lesson format. That's how I do it. So you're going to hopefully learn something. And if not, when I speak, I talk about something that is meaningful to myself, something that has affected my own life. And so if it affects your life or improves you or teaches you something or in some way shows you God in a more clear way, great. Okay, another thing I've noticed is that I know that the Bible says that we can't be milk Christians forever. You know, I think I kind of am, though. I don't know why, but I've gotten this impression that everything for me I don't find these people find deeper meanings and stuff that I don't find, maybe I don't know. But I hope that you will gain a blessing from what I have to say. Okay, so the joy of the Lord, joy versus pleasure. I was going into Kroger's and I was listening to a Christian radio station. And they had a little blurb of, you know, a little short talk. And the lady who was doing it was talking about joy versus pleasure. But I was on my way to Kroger, so I wasn't really listening. And then she gave this quote. It was some poet. I honestly spent this last week trying to find this quote. I don't know who the poet was. I just know, I'm pretty sure she said he was a poet. But she said that the poet says that pleasure is the filler. Okay, I'm not quoting it. I'm telling as I recall it. The filler, the something you put in to take the place of joy for those who, you know, they're too shallow or too busy to really find joy. So I got to thinking about that. That was, you know, that's what got me started. This was, I had been actually going a totally different direction in what I was going to say today. This got me started, and I started thinking, you know, okay, much smarter people than me have said stuff about joy. So let's, you know, see what they said. First of all, being a good teacher, Webster's Dictionary is my go-to place to find out what things mean. So I looked it up. Now, these are not exactly as they are found in Webster's. I did a little shortening, but for the most part. Okay, so pleasure is, as you can see, pleasure, the first definition is desire. So you can have both a physical, you know, your desire for something, or, you know, emotional, you really desire it, you know, but state of gratification, sensual gratification or a frivolous amusement, a source of delight or joy. Okay, so pleasure led me to joy. It is part of what pleasure is, but it felt like more, pleasure was not deep, abiding. It was like something good happened to me, therefore I have pleasure. You know, something nice, therefore I have pleasure. Something is beautiful, therefore it gives me pleasure. It didn't sound like I just lost my job, therefore I have pleasure. You know, God gives me pleasure because, you know, it didn't seem like a very deep meaning, a deep feeling. Okay, so then I looked at joy. I looked it up in the dictionary. And joy is an emotion evoked by well-being or success. So that's, you know, something's good. I have joy. Something is good. I have pleasure. But it also, the prospect of possessing what one desires. So it's still very connected. Then a state of happiness or felicity or bliss. So joy, pleasure, which led me to joy, then joy led me to happiness. So I actually had to get out on my iPad, and I had to go back and choose a different screen because originally I had joy and pleasure next to each other. I had to go back and choose another slide that had three places. So I put up happiness. Happiness, a state of well-being and contentment or joy. Now, I have a good friend that she told me English is not her first language. In fact, it's like her fourth. But she told me English is very frustrating because you look up the definition of every word, it tells you another word that, you know, it's related to. So this is very frustrating, apparently. But this, I thought, you know, these three words, so what, you know, smarter people than me have said about this. So I decided, let's go and see what the Bible says. You know, let's go to the expert. And of course, David and Solomon have, I think, are two of, you know, I know the Bible says Solomon was the wisest king, but honestly, anyone who had 1,000 women that were his significant others, how smart could he be? You know, I always think of my mom. My mom, when comparing my parents to plants, or to weather or whatever, my dad would be like the bamboo and my mom would be like the typhoon, or in America you guys have hurricanes. Bamboo is this giant grass, and the typhoons in Taiwan would just sweep through and it would be on its side, and then a couple days later it'd be back up. My dad was like that. My mom could just blow like woo, and then my dad just kind of very calmly went about his business. And I cannot imagine anyone having more than one of my mother, is the point. But Solomon says about pleasure. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? This is from Ecclesiastes 2:2. Solomon really, you know, he wasn't feeling like pleasure was doing him much good, I don't think. I get that feeling from what he said. Then in Proverbs, he says about joy. The hope of the righteous is joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Of the wicked will perish. You know, so part of our joy in life, part of what we are looking for, you know, it has to do with our relationship with God. So that's what that's telling me. Then we have happiness. This is from the Psalms. It says, "Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you." Our relationship with God is part of where our joy, our happiness comes from. Okay, so this is where I learn things from the Bible. For me, it's all about stories. You know, I look at somebody like Joseph. I believe Joseph went to Egypt and witnessed to the people there. Those he knew, they learned about God from him. But it wasn't like he had a Bible or tracts or signs of the times to give them. He had the experience of his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather. That's what he was able to share. So I love stories, and so I found a story that kind of, you know, really spoke to me. We have the story of Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was, the Bible tells us he was tall, he was handsome. He, for the first part of his reign, was very successful. He rescued a whole, I mean, he had just barely become king, and he runs over to a city and rescues it, a city that needed rescuing. He rallied the men. I mean, okay, there are some people that rally well. You know, they get up and they can draw others to come and join and go into their cause. I don't think I'm one of those people per se. You know, I think I'm more of a I tend to want to find something that's working, and I'm going to join and I'm going to help, but to be the person out in front, to be the Doug Batchelor or Billy Graham or the guy who just, man, people listen and just like jump up. I don't know that I'll ever be that. Saul was. I mean, Saul was, he blows a horn and you know, horns are blown and he calls the people and they come and they follow him. And, but time passes. He starts to think in terms of his own, how successful he is, how well he's doing, and, you know, sort of starts relying on himself. That's what it looks like to me. He's relying on himself, but then God starts, the Bible talks like God pulled away from Saul, but actually it's the opposite. Saul was pulling away from God. So now this is the point of the story and what I get. The Bible tells us Saul had, he was depressed, he was scared, he had begun to rely on himself and his strength, and then the Bible says that God sent him an evil spirit. Or I looked, actually, I have a website I love to go to. It's called, if you ever want to look at something interesting, it's called BibleGateway.com. And you can put in a specific verse and then look at every single translation or paraphrase they have on their website of that verse. I love doing that. You know, it's just so cool to see the different wordings of how people, different people's way of saying this, the same thing. You know, the emphasis they put on it. I love language, and for me, that's really interesting. Well, many of them, they talk about an evil spirit from God. There's it's a paraphrase called The Message, which I really like, and it talks about that he's scared. Saul is afraid. So his advisors say, you know, you need some good music. You know, and now, unfortunately for him, he didn't have a, you know, iHeart Radio app or Sirius XM on his, you know, whatever. Okay, I am totally not a technical person. I don't like technology. I just assume we went back to the Pony Express. But, you know, apparently there are plenty of places you can find stuff, so he didn't have that. So they ask around, you know, who is musical? Who is really got some serious musical stuff? And they come up with David. David is a young, he is handsome, he will eventually kill a giant and become a king, but at this point he's still a shepherd, a very talented shepherd. And so they call for him to come up. He comes, he lives in the palace. The Bible says that Saul loved him, that David was I think he was a rallying type person. He was a person that people liked to get with him and behind him and join in his plans. He was that kind of guy. And even as a young man, as a teenager, he had a great effect. The Bible tells us that Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, the crown prince, loved David as his own soul or as himself. He loved him to actually more than himself, because eventually David would be anointed to be the next king, which basically, shoop, Jonathan is out the door. He lost his place, his future was taken from him, and he still loved David more than he loved himself. But Saul, he did learn to love David, and he sent a message to Jesse. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16:22, he sent a message to Jesse. I like David. Let him stay here in my service. And that kind of, you know, sort of got me thinking. He's like a text. You know, this wasn't, this was just a to Jesse at Bethlehem.town. I like David's harp playing. Do you mind if he works for me? And then I, you know, being the silly person that I am, I came up with a name, and I love rhyming, so King Tall Saul, yeah, okay, whatever. And then, you know, one of the things that these days you want to, you know, make sure your pictures or your ideas get, you got to put a hashtag. Well, I play ukuleles, so, but harps are cool too, and of course this is found in 1 Samuel 16:22. Okay. As mentioned before, I do not like technology. In my opinion, the rise of technology has been the destruction of the world. I'm not a big fan. But there are some good points. I cannot deny that. Now, okay, we're going to put a pen in Saul. He is now on the side. We're going to talk about something totally different. How many of you have heard of the chemical dopamine? Yeah, raise your hand. Yeah. I would love it if we could, you know. Okay, I understand that I'm intended to share what I know, and so but you know, it's good to know you guys have heard it. Okay, well, this is the definition of what dopamine is. It's an important chemical. It's a messenger in the brain that has many functions. This is a totally good thing. God made it, and we're supposed to have it because it's involved in reward and motivation and memory, attention, and even having to do with movement. Now, have you ever heard of runner's high? Okay, totally. I thought that was a myth, a hoax. Somebody was lying to get people to buy shoes or something. But in college, to help manage my stress, and I had to do it for a class anyway, I would go and walk on the treadmill. And I would just do it. Now, my favorite song, one of my favorite songs, is the 1812 Overture. And it's 15 minutes long. And I had a really good version of it. And I would put that on. And my goal at first was to be able to walk a mile within 15 minutes. And that was my timing. And I knew the song. And so I would know, you know, how far I had gone and how much faster I had to walk to make my mile. Actually got where I could do it, and that was awesome. I do 3 1812 overtures, and that was really great. That was just so cool. And then one day I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna do a fourth. I've done my 3. That was nice. I'm feeling a little tired, but I still have water in my bottle. I'm gonna do a fourth 1812 overture. That's why I called when I tell my friends I'm gonna go walk. I'd say I'm gonna go do an 1812 overture. And anyway, so I get started. And I'm, you know, I'm tired. My muscles are kind of sore. But suddenly, I'm like feeling good. I mean, in a way that I had never felt ever in my life. And I'm like walking. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, maybe I could speed up a little. And then I'm like, I'm almost jogging. Okay, I don't jog. I don't think jogging is good for anybody, but I actually did a mile in 12 minutes. It was amazing, and I felt great the whole time. Okay, I had gotten dopamine. This chemical your brain releases, it makes you feel that something good has happened. So it is a totally good thing. Unfortunately, there are other things that cause dopamine to be released. Drinking alcohol, eating sugar, there are lots of things that can cause dopamine to be released. One of them is getting a text message. Getting a text message can cause dopamine to be released. This is kind of scary. Now there's this, so dopamine, it causes in large amounts, it creates a feeling of pleasure and reward. And when you do something that causes dopamine to be released, then you want to do it again. So I started walking 4 or 5 18-12 overtures so that I would get that dopamine. But it was something good for me. On the other hand, often teenagers will try alcohol for the first time. Besides getting the effects of the alcohol, they also get the effects of dopamine. And same thing with getting, like I said, getting a text message. You will get, a friend of mine shared this YouTube video with me. It's pretty long, so I'm not going to show you the whole video. I will tell you the part of it that I want you to know for this. Feel free to go and watch it. If you watch this man, he's a motivational speaker. But he did a study about millennials and their relationships they're able to build because how these have been damaged by the use of cell phones. Most young people, millennial age young people, will have more trouble developing deeper relationships because their friends are their Facebook friends. They have there's this disconnect in relationships because of cell phones. And he talks about that, and it's kind of scary. I mean, he talks about that a young person drinking as a teenager, they get the dopamine from having had a drink. And then that makes them feel, it anesthetizes them. And as they have later in life, as they have stress, that relationship with alcohol, they know what will happen. I'll feel better if I drink. And so that keeps them from being able to properly handle and manage stress. Same thing is true with your cell phone. If you shoot out 10 text messages and you get back 10 responses, no matter what they have in them, they could just be, silly, funny, pictures of your cat. It could be, nothing important, and yet you shoot them out and then they come back and woo, you feel good about it. But yet it's this dopamine, this feeling of happiness that you get within your brain from a chemical that God intended to help you to learn and do things that are appropriate and good for yourself. Well, this is you're having it with from your cell phone, which isn't necessarily your best thing. Now, back to my original statement, I don't like technology. I don't, but I also recognize I cannot throw it out the window. Now, like I said, while Saul had his relationship with David was, I believe, very superficial. The Bible says he loved David. He loved him as long as it was convenient. He loved him that he was handsome and smart and able to do good stuff that was made Saul look good. But as soon as David looked better than Saul, ooh boy, the love spigot turned off. Whereas Jonathan, who I believe I think he was quite a bit older than David. I think Jonathan was quite a bit older than David. From what I've read, my understanding of it is I think that in many ways, Jonathan was able to mentor David. He would have been well educated, whether he was prince or not. He had armor. He had so he was well prepared for the position of being king. Spent a lot of time with God, a lot of contemplation, but I don't know how much practical kingly experience he would have had. That David and Saul finished talking, and soon David and Jonathan became best friends. Jonathan thought as much of David as he did of himself. So in the case of of David and Jonathan, their relationship was deep, abiding. Not a cell phone, you know, let me shoot you a message, you shoot me back one, makes us both feel good. All right. So, okay, there I am. Despite the fact that their relationship was good, it was cut very short. The sadness, to me, the relationship between Jonathan and David was a sad relationship because it didn't get to last. David's final act of kindness to Jonathan was to be kind to his son. That was all he was able to give him. Now here's what I was thinking about this week. I got this the video, the YouTube video, and I watched that. It was sent to me by a colleague in Macau, and I watched it, and I sat there going, whoa, while I watched it. And I got to thinking about my own life. You know, what are the things in my life that are just pleasure? They're just stuff that I stick in to fill the hours, you know, or to... Now, okay, disclaimer, I am not married. My closest relationship physically is to a cat. The pictures of the cat, not that one. That is my cat. And she's sitting there, and the person I have the most, the cat I have the, is this, that I have the most to do with. And I think that probably makes a big difference. I think those who have wives, husbands, children, grandchildren, that there's probably more going on in your lives than there is in mine. And I spent a lot more time this week cleaning out my iPad of games, books that I haven't read. If I did read them, I shouldn't have read them, that they just were, they were a filler. They were, taking up time. Now, those of you who have small children, as a teacher, I know how much time a kid's going to take up in your life. Mine are usually older than yours are right now, but they still take up a lot of time. And so, you know, I have a lot of things I'm doing. I have papers to grade, lesson plans to make, school stuff, but then I have that 3 or 4 hours before I'm ready to go to bed. What am I going to do with it? And I got to thinking about it. What kind of relationship am I having with God? And am I having a pleasure relationship? Or am I having a joy relationship? A joy that regardless of the situation, regardless of the day I've had, it has been a good day, it's been a bad day, but I have had the joy of the Lord, or have I had a nice day, a pleasant day, a day that I could say was good and the pleasure. Now, I got to thinking about that. What, you know, am I having a cell phone relationship with God, or am I having a deep, abiding, you know, one? One of the things Simon says in his video, Simon Sinek says in his video, is that for many millennials, their relationships, when things are fun, you have a relationship. If things are not fun, like you have to move, or you need help moving, or you're having something, you know, you found out you have, you know, some terrible disease, you know, is this person going to still be a relationship with you? And he said, millennials will tell you. Now, I'm older, and I don't know a lot of millennials, but so I haven't had a chance to go and check this out for myself. But he says in his study, said they would tell, oh, I know if something serious comes up, my friends will go to the better option, the easier, the more fun option. Their cell phone friends, their friends that are, while things are good, we're friends. When things are not so good, we may not be friends anymore. Or they still say, oh, hey, but we're going to go do the fun thing. Am I having that kind of relationship with God? And so I began to think about that. That's what I thought about. I thought about that a lot this week. And then I thought about Jesus. What kind of relationship does he have with me? Jesus's love for me. How could I express that? What verse could I find that really tells me what it is? And this is one of the smartest people in the Bible. There is no doubt in my mind that Paul would be genius level kind of guy. Half the time I read him and have to think a lot about what he says before I really get it. But I would say, of things he said, bar none, one of my favorite. Maybe not the most, but it's pretty much up there. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So, you know, back to the bamboo. My dad is the bamboo. My mom is the typhoon. If you have ever seen bamboo growing in a clump, now the ones that I found the most fascinating was the giant bamboo. There's smaller kinds. All grows about the same way. If you planted bamboo, it would be very slow to grow. You know, a long time would pass. And then it suddenly starts shooting up and it's everywhere. Bamboo first grows roots. Then out of those roots come all the shoots of the giant bamboo grass. But deep, you know, and you look at the trees here. I watched all this icy, snowy stuff that has landed. Now I understand it apparently hasn't been a lot, but to me it was a lot. The trees, they're, you know, they get covered with it. They don't just fall over. They have roots. So this is what God's talking about. These roots that grow down, hold on, keep. So that's what your roots, my roots, grow down deep into the love of God. And they grow to keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ through, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of love, of life, and power that comes from God. God isn't looking for a 5-minute relationship. Now, you ask, I don't eat breakfast almost ever. I almost never eat breakfast because my choices are sleep or eating. I'm going to always choose sleep. My choices are, in fact, almost anything and sleep. Sleep will be what I choose. You know, given my druthers, I would take sleep over just, you know, watching a movie, sleep, sleep. Reading a book, sleep, sleep. Okay, no, the book I might choose, depending on the day. But given the choice between sleeping and eating, definitely choose sleep. But I had a pastor, he used to say, no Bible, no breakfast. I'm like, that's no problem. I want breakfast anyway. And then he's like, wait, he says, but you want to, then I became a teacher. And I had to actually be awake, alert, able to deal with whatever came up. And suddenly breakfast took on a new meaning. And my time with God took on a new meaning. And this week I have spent a lot of time reevaluating. How do I spend my time with God? Is it just for, you know, one of the things I always used to say, oh, I'm reading this story. And it's true. I relate to God through what he has done for other people. So the stories in the Bible are the ones that really, that's what speaks to me about God. And that's where I find that's where I learn the most about my relationship with him. But I began to reevaluate, how am I spending my time with God? And how am I relating to God? Am I having a cell phone relationship? Am I, you know, and is he the top priority? One of the things in this video I watched, he says, you know, you put your cell phone on the table. You're telling, you know, you're like, go out to eat with somebody. You put your cell phone there on the table. He says, you're telling them my cell phone is equally as important. In fact, possibly more important. I went out with my, oh, I do know a millennial. Oh, I tell you, drives me nuts. My niece, I love her to death, drives me nuts. We go out to eat. I say, hey, I'm here. I have this nice rented car. I have, you know, money. Let's go out to eat. We go out to, you know, whatever your choice is. She always chooses Olive Garden. We go out to Olive Garden, and we're sitting there. And I tell you, half the time, this is all I'm seeing. And I'm thinking, I'm here. I want to have a relationship with you. You're my niece. I love you. This is all I'm seeing. And, well, I have my phone. This is all I'm seeing. And I'm thinking, that guy or that girl or whoever it is you're talking to on the other end of the phone, they did not drive you to Olive Garden. They did not pay for you to have your soup and salad and some enormous entree that you will only eat 3 bites of it, and then you'll take it to go. But, you know, I'm here. I want to have a relationship with you. And then I got to thinking, is that how God feels? You know, I'm here. I am dying to have a relationship. I died to have a relationship with you. I wanted the relationship. I died, and I still want the relationship, even though this is all I see, or this, or this. This is all I see of you. But I'm dying to have a relationship with you. I want our relationship to be deep, impactful. I want it, no matter what happens in your life, I want you to know that I'll be there and I will support you, help you, teach you, love you, guide you, all of those good things that you need from me. And this is the relationship I want. So I rededicated myself this week. That was one of the things I did. So I rededicated myself that I was going to have a relationship with God that was deep and wide and long and high. And it was going to be a relationship based in the joy of the Lord, the strength that he gives me, that despite what happens, whether the day was good or bad, my joy will be in him. And I encourage you to have that same relationship, to find that same relationship, because the relationship, when you have a surface one, you know, a surface, the roots are just at the top, and the first wind that comes by, the tree will fall, the house will break, whatever metaphor you want to use for something that is not solid, it will crash. The house on the sand will go splat. I have trouble ending often, so I have the house on the sand went splat, and that's the end. I hope that what I have said will in some way minister to your heart as it did to mine.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.